You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 8. Gospel of John, chapter 8. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for your personal involvement. Spirit of God, we thank you that you are able to make happen all of the wonderful benefits and blessings, all the realities, all the truth. You are the truth. God, thank you. Thank you very much. Deal with our country, deal with our world. We think of believers in many hard places. God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, the last living apostle, as we've said, and reminding you that his wonderful assignment is to bring forth out of all of history, secular and sacred, to bring forth the wonderment of who and why God has given us his word, how God has operated in all of time, history, nations rising and falling, etc. And it's all about God being God. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. It's all about God. It ends all about God. Everything, all of creation is about God. And God's doing his wonderful thing. So the Lord Jesus Christ, God, God manifesting himself so that we would understand his word, his work, his power, but then his person, to our persons so that we would know his person in a very personal way, so that we'd have a personal relationship to God that has some sense to it and understanding that brings us more nearly as we ought to understand God's wonderful person. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so John, that's John's assignment to present God. And in the light of the nation of Israel and the Jewish people, they gave all kinds of arguments because if anyone should know he was God, they should. And in all of those arguments, in all of those encounters, John records them in 21 chapters, more or less, and he records them. So what? So that we'd know that man's best reasoning, man's best efforts, man's best anything, his apart from God is nothing. And man always loses. God always wins. It doesn't pay to go against God. It pays to believe God. Believe him. Now, having said that little bit, here's John chapter 8. Remember the Lord said in verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And like all of it, as we've been going along, the Jewish people, teachers, Pharisees, etc., had problems trying to resolve and answer who he was. They knew who he was, but it was hard to believe that he would really be who he is. And all the proofs, signs, wonders, miracles, his words, his works, he was God. So now, as we've gone, and they try to argue about everything, bring up, trying to trick him, trying to trap him. And remember we shared in John chapter 8, verse 25, then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. So as we shared together, they're trying to trick him. They know who he is. They want him to say that God was his father. That's what they wanted him to say. that he was God. And then the Jews could go and stone him, they think, for blasphemy, for saying he's God. They're trying to trap him, trick him, all kinds of ways. So now, having said that, and then he proceeded as we shared together, verse 29, he that sent me is with me, the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Here's the crowd in the treasury, the temple court and that. And here's the crowd, and the crowd is there, and the leaders, Pharisees are there, scribes, etc. They're there. And in the process, the crowd is there, and of course he knows the mind and heart of everybody. And he knew that some were believing his wonderful words. They had just finished the Feast of Tabernacles, so there were is a very exciting time. And in verse 31, many that believed, verse 30, then said Jesus to those Jews of the many that believed, of those Jews which believed on him, they believed. Now you got to, the belief has to lock on. A belief, you sit in the pew and you lock on to the pew. You're totally persuaded, trusted. The pew is the pew. You reckon it, rest in it, and relax. And you sit in the pew and you sit down and you are not going to fight the pew. You don't even have to think about the pew. The pew is going to do what it does. Now, in the light of that, and so they, if they're believing, then they need to understand if they're going to believe to the saving of their soul, God does the saving, they do the believing. If they're going to do that, then they need to continue believing. You can't just think, oh, boy, that was pretty good what he said. I believe what he said. That isn't the same thing, I believe what you said, in, as believing in your heart that you've received him as your Savior. You're letting him be all that he is to you, God, Savior, Lord, to you. Now, so therefore, he said, as we shared together, verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue, abide, keep on doing it, in my word, not anyone else's, pay attention, I am the light of the world, then are ye my disciples indeed, truly, truly you are my disciples, in truth. Now, you are my disciples, so you want to hang on, and if you believe, you're going to stay with it and keep paying attention to me and my word. Now, their reaction to that, and he's put them right on the spot. He's pinned them down in the crowd. He's told them, you Jews that are believing, you need to be abiding. Now, and verse 32, and if you keep doing abiding, continuing in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Something wonderful will happen if you believe for real, all the way in your heart, and you settle it, reckon it, rest in it. If you do that, it'll do a wonderful thing. It'll, the truth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And the truth will set you free. You've never been free. I will set you free. So now, that triggered a reaction, and their feathers wild up, as it were, and they're going to react to that. Now, verse 33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? How can you say that, to be made free, have liberty, freedom? And that's, we are Abraham's seed. We are Abraham's seed. And down in verse 37, I know that you are Abraham's seed. So it isn't a question. They just said, legitimately, we are Abraham's seed. Now, you need to put it together. Because what are they saying? Well, we're Abraham's seed, and the Lord agreed with them. You are Abraham's seed. You are Jews. Now, there's a difference in what's where they are and where they need to be. So now, in the light of that, to be servants, verse 33, we are Abraham's seed and have never been in bondage to to slavery, bondage, service, like a servant, a slave in this case, and were never in bondage to any man, no man, literal words, two words, no one, not to anyone have we ever been in bondage. Now that's a huge statement, to be never in bondage. Well, weren't you in bondage for 400 years in Egypt? Yes, but we weren't in bondage. And weren't you in bondage in the days of the judges, one judge after another, and then the Philistines, etc., had power over you? That's true, they said. Weren't you in Babylon 70 years and you were in bondage, taken captive? That's true. Weren't you in Syria in the between the testaments and you were under bondage to them, to the Syrians, Antiochus, Epiphanes, etc.? And weren't you in bondage in Rome? Rome, we were in bondage. But as a people, we were always separate. Even in our bondage, we held fast to being Jews. Now, you know that's true historically for all these centuries. Israel, Jews, are always there. Always there. Now, they said that. We're always Jews. We've always been free. Now, let's put that together so we get that part of it. Over, if you would, to Numbers. Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23. And Balaam, the prophet, is speaking to Balak, the king of Moab. And Balak would like Balaam to curse Israel and curse him because they were against Israel. Moab was. So now, having said that, I'll read verse 7. Then he took up this parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come curse me, Jacob, come defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? Now verse 9. From the top of the rocks I see him. From the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell, the people are going to dwell alone, and shall not, N-O-T, be reckoned, does not count, you cannot count them among the nations. Israel cannot be counted. All the nations, they're a light to the nations, they are not to be counted. Wonderful, awesome statement. But in all of their bondages, Egypt, Babylon, Rome, what are they saying in Rome? We have no king, what are they going to say before, when he goes to the cross? We have no king but Caesar. We've never been in bondage to any man. And we've been a separate people in a most awesome way. So now, and in the process of that, we are not counted among the nations at all. We are a prized, prominent, special, privileged people. And you know you aren't far away, so we'll do that. Exodus chapter 19 again. You know these things, but just to remind you and myself, Israel alone, God has separated them. Even in Egypt, they're separated in the land of Goshen. Chapter 19, picking up in verse 4 again, Exodus 19:4. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you in eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar, special, prized, my treasure unto me, above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And as you keep reading Deuteronomy, that God said, they are my people alone, they are mine. They belong to nobody else. I will chastise them, discipline them. I'll do whatever, but I will not end them. I made a promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. They are my people. They are my nation, chosen to be a light to show all the nations of the world. They failed to do so, but, and here's the church in earth, but, tribulation coming up, millennium, Israel is going to be for 1,000 years the light that I meant it to be for all the nations of the world to see. They are the light to show a wonderful God and Savior. That's what it's for. So that's the future, and nothing and no one is going to stop that. And so Israel, we are Abraham's seed. Oh, you are right. You are right. You are right. And you try, you say that, but you've tried to be other things, haven't you? We have. 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. And remember, they had the judges, etc. Samuel is the last judge. And remember, as he's about to leave them, die, then they have a request that they make. Chapter 8, 1 Samuel, going directly to verse 5 in the light of the context. And he said unto him, Behold, thou art old, thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now, N-O-W, make us a king to judge us like all the nations are judged. You're the last judge, you're going, and make us a king to do the job. We need a king. All nations have rulers, kings, Caesars, pharaohs. They have everything. We need our king. We need a king. And then God goes, and remember, verse 6, And the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all they say unto thee, for they have not, N-O-T, rejected you, Samuel, but they have rejected me. Why? That I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Unto thee they have forsaken. And you go over in chapter 8, God explains to them, you're going to get taxed. You know what that is? Governments tax you. They control you. You are a slave to them. Do you understand? When you want a government like the world, you're going to be under their government, and you're going to be in trouble. So, and I want to warn you what you're going to have. And thus, verse 19. Nevertheless, after all that warning, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. We want someone. And therefore the Lord said, verse 22, And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto them voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men, O Israel, go every man unto his city. So now God, they wanted to be, they need to be separate, but they wanted to be like the nations. They did. But you know what? They weren't. Over in Hosea chapter 13, first of the prophet, minor prophets, Hosea, and in chapter 13, as you would note, they wanted a king, but they can't have a king. God is their king. See, but you may do what you do, but I'm the one that's going to call the shots. Thus, chapter 13 of the book of Hosea, verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. You have ruined your own hopes, dreams, by your fears and false foolishness. You have shot yourself in the head. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all the thy cities? Thy judges, of whom thou sayest, give me a king and princes. I gave thee a king in mine anger and took him away in my wrath. I want you to know, you'll have no king. They have no king. They have no king. King, where's the king? David, all the way down, no king. You can't have a king. You can't be part of any nation. You are separate. When they said we're Abraham's seed, they were right. We are Jews. Little Jewish community, anti-Semitism, keeping the Jews, trying to not be Jews so you won't get persecuted. Ah, you're Jews. Aha. And you'll always be Jews. Now, so that's what they said. Back over if you would. Oh, before you do that, that was a good thought. Thank you. Leviticus 25. I don't want to leave out Leviticus. That will help us. What do we know? They have to be God's nation all by their lonesome. No question about it. And Leviticus chapter 25, picking up if I can, they can never be any nation except God's nation. And their birthright, what about their birthright? Let's read it. What do you know about a Jew being born a Jew? Leviticus 25, picking up please in verse 38. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. If thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor and be sold into bondage, slaves, thou shalt not compel him to serve with rigor, bondage, as a bondman, a slave. We are not slaves, Romans, John chapter 8. We're free. Ah, hang on now. We're free. And that was right. That was right. And what do you know? We're told we're born free. We're born Jews. And Jews can never be enslaved by anybody. No matter what. No matter where they are, dungeons, prisons, whatever. They're always Jews. Now, in verse 40, but as an hired servant and as a sojourner, he shall be with thee. He shall be with thee and shall serve thee until the year of Jubilee, 50th year. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family and unto his possessions and his father's shall he return. For reason, they are my servants, they belong to me, they serve me, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not, N-O-T, be sold as slaves, bondmen, to anybody. No one can own them but me, said God. They're mine. No matter where you find them, that's my man, my woman, my boy, my girl that were Jews. That's God. Now, and thus, in verse 43, thou shalt not rule over him with rigor, bondage, but thou shalt fear God. So now, and verse 44, both thy bondmen and thy bondmaids, which thou shalt have, shall be of the heathen that are round about you. Of them shall ye buy bondmen and bondmaids. You can make slaves of all kinds of people, but you cannot make slaves of each other, and no one can make slaves of you, because you belong to me in a very, very special, wonderful way. Now, back over, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 8. in John chapter 8, verse 33. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed," which is true, "and we're never in bondage, slavery to any man, no one. How are you saying then, you shall be made free, when we are slaves of nobody? How can you call us? What do we need? What is it about freedom? Aren't we free? We think we're free in our pride. We're free. We've always been very proud to be a Jew." Now, in the light of that, in verse 34, "Verily, verily, amen, 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 very assuredly, most assuredly, most certainly," it's an exclamation, affirmation as it were, "so be it, so it is, verily, verily," I'm going to tell you, three times he's going to use it in this chapter, verse 51, "verily, verily," verse 58, "verily, verily," back over to verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Now, what is he going to say that's going to help them? Back and forth. They're saying, "We're Jews," and they did, "We're Jews." And then he turns around and hits them right back where it hurts. Says it right back to them. "I'm going to help you guys," because that's what they were. They were so proud. Verse 34. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." So verily, verily, I'm going to tell you, you're a servant of sin if you commit sin. The word servant we're looking at is slave. Slave. And remember, depends who you, how they count, half the Roman Empire is enslaved. Remember I gave you a whole long statement, paragraph, from way back then. Years ago, I read to you what a slave was. A dog was treated better than a slave in Rome. And I went through it. I said, this is from them. This is the thing. I read you the whole thing. That's a slave. And you think slavery. That's slavery. That's slavery. And they were in it. Wow. Now, so that's the word we're looking at. Slave. Slave. You're a slave of what? Sin. Sin. You're in bondage, a slave to sin. Whoso committeth, keeps on committing, to make the habit of. You make the habit, you're practicing sin. Sin, and the person who is practicing sin is the slave of the sin. The sin you practice, you're a slave of it because you practice it. You practice it, and that's what you do. And in verse again, if any man, verse 34, whosoever committeth sin, that's the word we're looking at, to miss the mark, to fail, to come short, to deviate, to miss the target. You never hit the target. You said, "We're Abraham's seed," but you aren't. You shot the arrow, right? You missed the target, as you'll see now. So now, having said that about sin, to deviate, to miss the mark, that's what you've done. So we aren't talking about your relationship to Abraham as a Jew. We're talking about your heart. And in your heart, you missed the mark. You didn't hit the target. You're Jews, but you aren't Jews. You aren't Jews at all. Not Jews that I didn't save. I didn't save Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses to be just like the people of the world. I saved them to know me as Lord and Savior. They had a special relationship to me, which you guys don't have. Now, hang on. Chapter 8, his sin, verse 34, twice. Over, if you would, to chapter 8. Picking up, if I can, verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, "I go my way, ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins." See? I go my way and you shall seek me, but you don't know me. You're just trying to find me for the wrong reasons. And you shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Verse 24. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. There's the word. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. It's pretty clear. You're going to die in your sins. Over, if you would please, now, to get a handle on that, over to the book of Romans and chapter 5. Romans 5. Sin, to miss the mark, to deviate, to not hit the target. You're in Romans. I'm going to have it read, could quote it maybe. Chapter 3 of Romans. Look at verse 23. Think of sin missing the target. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned, missed the target, and come short. What were they supposed to do? Hit the glory of God. Honor God. Know God in the person as he would reveal himself in the person of Jesus Christ. They've rejected him. They are rejecting him. They come short. They've missed the mark. They've all come short of the glory of God. The standard for to measure up God, if we didn't have Jesus Christ born in Bethlehem of Judea, we could play games with it easier. But when he is born, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John give us four windows to see him, who on earth can measure up to him? The righteousness you require, the standard you require, you must be as good and as right as he is. That's it. Now, and who, the minute you do that, all of us, Romans 3:23, come short of the glory of God. Simple way. You have to be equal to him, and he is unequaled. And that's why we look at God's word and look at the resurrected Christ. The only sign he would give us is the sign of the prophet Jonah, 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And he said, the only sign I'm going to give is my resurrection. And what is the church doing? Showing the resurrected life of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world that didn't want to believe. The only sign he will give the world is the sign of the prophet Jonah. In Christ in you, the hope of glory, so the world has to look. The Jesus Christ who is crucified is risen, and here we are. A risen Savior has saved us. Now, having said that, back over to chapter 5 of Romans. Therefore we have a problem. Chapter 5 and verse 12 directly. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that's Adam, and death by sin, wages of sin is death, so death was handed down to every single human being, that's all of us, that were born out of the line of Adam, that's where we came from. We didn't come from a kangaroo or an overgrown leaf or a chemical reaction. We came from Adam. We have an Adamic nature. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in verse 12, for that all have sinned, all men. And thus, by way of Adam, we were born spiritually dead, disconnected from God. We choose to honor and stay spiritually dead by not believing. So we choose to stay. You just read it, Romans, John 8, 21, 24. You will die in your sins because you won't believe. You won't believe. Now, so having said that little bit, I'm remembering the Spirit of God. You don't have to turn there. John 16, verse 8 and 9. God, the Spirit of God's ministry is to convict every human heart of sin, righteousness and judgment, of sin because, singular, sin, because they believe not on me. If you don't believe me, you'll die in your sins. You have a sin nature. Aren't we free? Aren't we free, Jews? No. No, you're not free. You're not free at all. You're slaves. You're in bondage to sin. You're in bondage to it. You can't get out of it. You have a mindset. You're caught in it. And you are completely under the influence of it. No question. No question. And easiest thing back, easy thing, to go back. Now, what to do is when you go, tomorrow when you wake up, try to be as right and good as Jesus Christ in word, thought, and deed. That's your assignment. To be as good in word, thought, and deed as Jesus Christ. Now, can you do that? Would you even attempt it? I don't know anyone that would attempt it. Even the kooky cults wouldn't attempt it. No one would attempt it. You're right. You're right. You've sinned. And you don't want to know it. You don't want to face up to it. And we do it without taking time. We know we love darkness, John 3. We love darkness rather than light because our deeds are evil. And that's why we like darkness. Why is darkness nice? Because we don't have to answer the color chart. We can make the color chart whatever we want. You make it blue, green, orange. Do whatever you want. We like darkness. Light means I have to be specific of what things are. Truth, truth. The truth will make you free. Reality. I don't want to have reality. I don't want to. Reality's tough to live with if I don't have a Savior, if I don't have an answer. I don't have any answers to my sin nature. I can't solve it. I can't get rid of it. It won't go away. And thus I love darkness rather than light. As you know, in Isaiah 5 and 20, that we're going to put, it's an age-old solution. You put evil for good and good for evil. You put darkness for light and light for darkness. You put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And you're going to go and call evil good and good evil. You're going to go and say the bad guy is a good guy before God when he's a bad guy. And then you're going to add, like Malachi 2:17, by the way, God doesn't care what we do and how we do it and how we think. Who cares? He doesn't seem to stop anything. Therefore, we keep doing it. We keep doing it. Now, having said that, so their mindset, they had a mindset. They were set. And they would rather go back, like we're doing in the evening, they would rather go back to Egypt than to go forward into God and His will. And they'd rather go back to the leeks, the garlics, the onions, and the watermelons. They'd rather go back to all of that than to go to God. And that's what they are, and that's where they are. We're Jews, aren't we Jews? Isn't that good enough? We're Jews, we're special. No question about that. But your heart, your heart, your heart. Do you know, and sin, you have yielded to habit, to all kinds of sinful, the way you do things, the way you think, the way you feel, the way you walk, the way you talk, that's what you do. Remember Socrates back in 420 plus or minus BC, Athenian philosopher, teacher, he quotes, among many things, "How can you call a man free when his pleasures rule over him?" Unquote. The pleasures rule. I have to do it. I want it. I got to eat it, drink it, do it. God, I'm caught in it. And that's why the advertisement's so powerful, because we're going to keep advertising. You look what are they doing? Keeping you aware, keeping you alert about needing something, having something, doing something, being something, and they keep banging away at it. Now, and to do it a little different way. In the light of our old nature, which we keep doing and thinking according to our old nature, and therefore, that's what we do. We can't think any other way. Try it. Try thinking right. Well, what is right? Try it. You, go ahead. Sit down and use your energy and say, well, that's right enough for me. We're back in the dark with that color chart. It's right enough for you, but not right enough for him. And is it right enough for God? Ah. Now, so, and remember the thing, just that you've ever heard this kind of thing. I will do what I like, when I like. I will think what I like, as I like. How's that? Do you like that? I like that. You think what you want, do what you want. Now, but all such thinking and doing, all of it, sin likes, that's the title. Sin likes you to sin, doesn't it? It's your own nature. Sin likes you to sin. Did you ever notice how your old nature doesn't want you to believe? Old nature doesn't want you to believe. Sin likes you to sin. So we like to sin. We do sin. We can't help but sin. It's our nature. It's our nature. You know, I had a bag of potatoes up here once, all kinds of things, like your old nature, and I had it up here, and we went in, and word, thought, deeds, good things, bad things, all kinds of things, habits and good and bad, and then we reached in each time to show what we're thinking or doing or wanting or having, and we reached in. Every time we reached in, had them reach in, you came up with what? A potato. No matter what you did, no matter how your thought and noble and wonderful your thought was, when you went down and reached in your heart, you always came up with a potato, your old nature. No matter how you cut the cookie, no matter how you did it. Wow. So here we are, God, looking, and we have that old nature, and our sin like a sin nature likes being a sin nature. It isn't going to change. In the Mosaic Law, could never free a person. All the Mosaic Law says, you're guilty. If you don't measure up, here's the yardstick, the golden rule, and we stand next to it and we don't measure up. We come short of the glory of God, so we don't measure up at all. So now, God, here we are looking over in Romans and chapter 7. You're right nearby. Romans and chapter 7. And picking up if I can. I'm going to go to in the light of marriage, the marriage ends when the husband dies, loose from the law, verse 2. Verse 3, 7:3. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another. Wherefore, God, what are you trying to help us with? I'm trying to help you tell you what Christ did. The law doesn't go anywhere. The law is righteous. The Ten Commandments, God's law, is always forever. The law says, guilty, dead. All right, then, what do we have? Guilty and dead. Well, then, in the process, dear friend, God, what did you do? The law demands the wages of sin is death. Christ died to answer the law. When he died for what? For every human being. When he died, they died. The wages of sin is death. The law has no more hold because the penalty has been paid. Now verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members and bring forth fruit unto death. Unto death. Go right next door for a moment. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 and verse 6. For to be carnally minded, fleshly minded, is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against hatred, an enemy against God. For it is not subject, N-O-T, to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Chapter 7, back over to where you were. Chapter 7. So that in verse 5, the end of the verse, to bring forth fruit unto death. So we already know that our old nature just does potatoes all the time. Verse 6, but now we are delivered from the law. That, how so? That being dead, when Christ died, you died, wherein we were held, that we should serve, we were held in bondage, that we should serve, there's your word, serve as a servant, as a slave, in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. So God, you wanted us to be able to enjoy your wonderful person in a most wonderful way. Over in chapter 7, in verse 18, you are familiar. For I know that in me dwell, in my flesh dwelleth no, N-O, good thing, but to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. I would like to do better, I think better, come out better, but I just never seem to do it. For the good, verse 19, that I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now you slide down. Oh, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? Wages of sin is death. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, I serve, and with the flesh the law of sin. So I need to know, I'm either a slave as to sin, and then I'm not free at all, or I'm a emancipated, liberated, to become a slave of God. Uh-huh. And verse 8, chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Taking verse 25, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free, F-R-E-E, from the law of sin and death. So when I came to know you as Savior, you set me free. That's right. You became my slave. Now hang on. It's a wonderful thing. We don't have time to look at it. It's an awesome thing to be a son and a slave. A slave to honor the wonderful person of God. And before you say, hold it, the Lord Jesus Christ serves the Father, the Spirit of God. You never hear him asking for honor. He points to Christ, who points to the Father. They serve God. God serving his wonderful person so that everyone would know the wonderment of God. Wow. Now, so, and over, if you would, because we've got to close. Almost close. Over, if you would, please, because we didn't do very much. I'm sorry we didn't get very far, but I hope you got a little bit. Matthew chapter 6. And picking up, if I can, here's our word. Servant, slave, slave of bondage. Matthew 6, 24. No man can serve, be a slave, to two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. There's that word again. You cannot serve, be a slave, to God and mammon what you're trusting in. You're either going to trust God or you aren't. We just did it in Sunday school. You're either going to trust God or you're not. That's all. You trust him or don't. I do, but I don't. That's no good. No good. So it's, you can't serve both. No neutral. Revelation 3, 15. I would that you were hot or what? Cold. I hate you if you try to be lukewarm. I will vomit you up. Because there is no neutrality anywhere. You're either for or against something. There is no neutrality. Anyway, in closing, over if you would, 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians and our little word. Not little word, big word. Big word. In 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1. Remember, the Thessalonians were wonderfully saved. Verse 5. Thessalonians 1, 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now, and in verse 9, what did it produce? For they themselves show of us, the Thessalonian believers, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, verse 5, it showed itself how. How you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. God, what were they doing? They got wonderfully saved from serving sin. They got wonderfully saved to serve the living and only God. And as you see, we can't do all wonderful, wonderful things. You know what? They said, we're Abraham. My father's Abraham. And that's where he corrected them. In your heart, you are not Abraham's son. Ishmael and all of that. Isaac was my son. Promise. Faith. Abraham is the father of faith. People that believe. You Jews aren't believing. You don't want to believe. You love darkness rather than light. You'd rather stay in blindness and stay there, and that you'll never be free. Because I'll just do better and the world will do better. The world isn't going to, the world has the same sin nature you do. So where do you expect the world to go? Where do you expect the state of Connecticut to go? No offense. Where do you expect the United States to go? Where do you expect Russia to go? Iran to go? The ISIS? Islam? Where do you expect them to go? Where do you expect your people that you work with to go? We're all going to keep doing with what? Our potatoes, our old nature. No matter how you cut the cookie. So when are we ever going to get better? We aren't. We just ride the cycle until you get saved. And then God rescues you and sets you free. The truth will set you free. They said, we don't understand. And that's because you don't know me. I am the resurrection and the life. Think of Sunday school. I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, verse 26, you'll never die. And that was the question, remember, he asked Martha. And she couldn't answer it. She didn't answer it. You'll never die. Do you believe that? Too much for me. Ah, so you know what? We've shared it before and you know it. Don't be offended, stumble, over God being God. He is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He is God, exceedingly, infinitely, invisibly, wonderfully God. Don't be offended because he's God. He isn't small. We want to let God be what in us? God-sized. Not man-sized. God-sized. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and deal with our heads and our hearts, our homes, our health, our wealth. God, here we are, trying to get a handle on how things are and why they are and how we should solve and resolve, how to get along with you, how to get along in the world, how to achieve and fulfill being alive on planet Earth. God, it isn't going to happen without you. So do a wonderful work in our head and heart. May we learn well from the pages of your word. May we learn well from the exercise of the elite Pharisees and Jews. as they encounter you and you dealt with them and instructed them and educated them. God, thank you in doing that. You educate us. So thank you very much for all that you say, all that you do, all that you are. God, we don't even know how to start. Don't even know how to go with it, God. God, wonder of wonders. And the truth will set you free. God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In doing it a little different, let's, in closing, sing what you did a moment ago.